Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. In preparation for this show, I decided to look at some job postings for manufacturing leaders to see what the leadership requirements were. In the three different director of manufacturing positions that I found, these leadership skills were at the bottom of the requirements. Action-oriented and self-motivated, you'll be a strong communicator with exceptional leadership skills and the ability to build rapport across all levels. You're passionate about people leadership and building high-performance teams. You're motivated to set challenging objectives for your team and leading by example. And the last one was proven leader with experience supervising in a high-speed production environment, excellent interpersonal and coaching skills. Being a leader of a company requires an array of knowledge and skills, sales, marketing, and finance, but the softer skills of people management, as we've seen, are often the final requirement, if they're even mentioned at all. Yet studies show that if employees feel valued and supported, they can be motivated to take your company forward fast. This week on the show, Kevin Snook returns to talk about the leadership landscape. Kevin is the author of Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. He is also the founder and CEO of Saxagon, a consulting company focused on consumer goods manufacturing. Hi, Kevin. Good to speak to you again.
Lovely to speak to you, Janet.
Thanks very much for joining me. I was looking actually through your book the other day, and you mentioned right in the introduction of your book that oftentimes when a new leader comes into a manufacturing company, they come from a different background. It's not necessarily manufacturing. So how often have you seen that? And what's the impact on the companies that you've worked with that have brought in that person that really isn't a manufacturing person?
Yeah, that's a great question, Janet. It happens a lot. And it doesn't. It's not necessarily that people come from a non-manufacturing company, but they come from a non-manufacturing background. So, for example, you may have somebody who is promoted through from a marketing or sales background or even financial background, and then they find themselves in charge of a division or a group that has a lot of manufacturing, or they're directly responsible for that manufacturing group. And so you have somebody coming in with perhaps brand experience, or as I said, marketing experience, now sitting in a role where many different factories are reporting into them, and they have to learn a whole new set of skills. And the reason that I say manufacturing is entirely different to marketing and sales and finance is that usually in those roles, in those divisions, you have a mix of people that are they're trained through those marketing backgrounds. They may be direct graduates. They may be people who are more used to living and working in the city. In manufacturing companies, you have a vast array of people working on the factory floor, coming from all sorts of different backgrounds with different education levels. And you're trying to put together a whole mix of complicated humans with highly technical equipment. And so that's quite different than a marketing or sales or finance type of background.
So what's the reaction? That's a challenge for them, but what's the reaction from the people in the company when they see, okay, this is my new leader and they don't have anything to do with manufacturing. They're from a completely different background. Is there a respect thing? Is there a problem there with respect?
I think that really depends. And Filippo, in one of our episodes, I think it was episode 21, went into this when he stepped, and he was actually from a manufacturing background, but he stepped into a completely different culture. And I think this is really a matter of understanding what's the culture in manufacturing. And whether that's a new country or it's moving from marketing into manufacturing, there's an absolute need to understand the people that you're going to be going to work with, and doing your homework up front, and then bolstering your own skills to show that you understand the people that you're working with. And so I think those first times that you have a chance to introduce yourself to the group, the times that you have a chance to show what you're there for and how you intend to work with them, I think that's critically important. Manufacturing people want to see that there's a leader there who will help and support them to grow. Every company needs to grow. Every company needs to make profit. People on the manufacturing floor know that. They understand that. What they want to do is to understand that the leader can see the types of challenges that they have and how that leader is going to help them through those challenges.
I thought that conversation with Filippo was really interesting because he had said, and basically the podcast was called How to Succeed as a Leader in a New Company and a New Culture. And one of the things that he said in that conversation was that it was very important when you come into a new company in a new culture that you are actually humble and that you ask for help and guidance and don't walk in there like you know it all.
Yeah, that's absolutely critical. And people can smell BS, right? They know when people are not being genuine. And for anybody from a different type of background to come in and pretend that they understand manufacturing is just foolish. It's okay to say that you don't know. In fact, it's very powerful to show some level of vulnerability and to say that there's areas of this that I don't understand. Can you, as the people who are experts in manufacturing, teach me and show me and help me understand what help that you need to be able to succeed? One of the first things I ever do when I walk to help a new company is I say to them, you know this business better than I do. You know, how do I, who grew up making consumer goods, how do I expect to understand electronics manufacturing as well as somebody who's grown up in an electronics manufacturing background? And so it's right for me to say, you know this better than I do, but there are other things that I've seen that may be able to help us improve and, you know, accelerate our progress. What can you teach me? And then how can I help you overcome the barriers that I have the experience to help you move forward with?
So in your experience, when you've been working with new leaders, are most of these new leaders willing to admit that they don't know something or don't have all the answers?
That's a really mixed bunch.
Yeah.
There are definitely some people who feel like they need to have all the answers. Over my career, I work less with those people, and that's a personal choice. So I feel that in general, people need to understand that authenticity, vulnerability are strengths. And so having a level of self-awareness to know what you're an expert at and be able to focus your time and effort on that and allow other people to focus their time and effort what they're experts at is very important. And so certainly if you're working with the CEO or the business owner, if they're not willing to learn and grow, then it's very difficult to change that company culture. If they are willing to, but they don't know how to, that's a completely different factor, right? And so with those people, then you spend the right amount of time, help them with their self-awareness, and then you help them with how do they surround themselves with the right people and the right characters to be able to fill the areas that they have gaps.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about self-awareness, because I want to bring this into a couple of recent podcasts that we did with Dave McHugh, and he's a leadership coach. And he on the show talked about the four different leadership personalities that he's seen. So he's seen the innovator, the implementer, the sustainer, and the collaborator. And then he says those people also have three different leadership mindsets at any given time, which could be captive, enterprise, and integrated. And so you're talking about leadership awareness. And I'm sure you have different names for the various personalities that you see out there that are common, but how self-aware are most leaders?
I think it's a growing understanding that this is a need. You have some people that are, have intrinsically been working on these sort of things for a long time. And then you have other people who are just figuring out that if they focus on their strengths, then they have the best opportunity to move ahead. If they look at the areas where they have gaps and then can fill them, that's fantastic. And I'm not talking about fill them themselves, but fill them with having the right team around them to be able to do that. I thought Dave's two podcasts were fantastic, and I don't need to rename those different personality traits that he was talking about. What we have to understand is that people are intrinsically different. There's no need for everybody to be the same. You know, I've been working with a fantastic autocratic leader in one company at the moment, and he is fantastic at being an autocratic leader. If I tried to get him to be touchy-feely and sit down and pretend that he cares about certain areas that he doesn't, it's going to come off as being insensitive, inauthentic. It's just not going to be right. And people will be able to see through that. He needs to be a great autocratic leader. And he needs to find people around him who soften that side and fill in those different gaps. That there's no point in us trying to be somebody we're not, but we can certainly play to our strengths, understand where we need to fill the opportunity areas.
So as a consultant, how have you dealt with some of those personality challenges that you've run into to help a company move forward? I mean, how do you say, you need kind of to bring in this type of a personality to balance things out? How do you approach that?
Yeah, and it has to be one-to-one because everybody is individual. And in a way, that's my superpower. You know, my superpower is being able to understand people, understand the business situation pretty quickly and help them with a strategy to improve. And, I love doing that. And I love doing that because that's who I am. And so that's the part that works very well for me. It's very authentic for me. Sitting down with a whole range of people, figuring out what makes them tick, working out what's critical in the organization, the priorities, the action plan to move that forward, and then allowing them to focus on the areas that they really add value. Then the only factor is, okay, where do we need to go? What skills do we need to help us accelerate forward? And then who are the right people to bring in to do that? Quite often, it's not what do you need to do, but who do you need to bring in that we need to consider. And at that, that's really the way that you do it. You have human conversations about the areas that people need to bolster.
So I'm wondering, at any time in your career as a consultant, have you ever had to help somebody develop whatever that job description is for the position that they're going to post? And what do you say when you're looking for somebody who has a particular leadership skill, like the ones that I was reading at the start of the show? You know, we want these kind of leadership skills. Are you working with people to post jobs that show that that is a skill that this company wants because they want to get their leadership right?
Yeah, I think the most job postings for me are absolute nonsense. You know, they're looking for the one person that fits everything. And mm-hmm. start talking about different types of leadership skills and, having run factories and done this and done that. And when people go to those job interviews, it's almost impossible for them to fit, the job description that people are looking for. And that's why so many people's CVs and resumes are absolute nonsense, right? And so what I am encouraging people to do is to understand their own strengths and then go and talk about your strengths and say, okay, look, I might not be able to fill this complete role. There's certain areas here that I'm not great at. This is not my superpower, but I will find the people around me to help make that work. That's a lot more critical. If I'm helping somebody to put together a posting or to understand the types of characters that they need in different roles and the different skill sets that they need, then we look at specifically what needs to be achieved in here. You know, what are the actions that need to be taken? How do we need to develop the organization in order to take the right actions? And then we create the profile around that. And for people that I'm interviewing, I look for them to talk about their strengths. You know, specifically, what can this person do to help accelerate my performance? And what will we have to bolster them with?
I'm wondering if you have a story, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, try to think of a story right off the top of your head that you've experienced, but I'm wondering if you've had an experience as a consultant where you finally were able to, or the company was finally able to hire that one person that came in and just filled that spot that made all of it kind of work finally together like an orchestra, right? Because sometimes you just bring that final personality in and everything weaves together and you've got that management team. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, I've seen that happen quite a few times. And I've seen that happen in large companies that I was working for, and I've seen that happen as a consultant. There's a great example at the moment, and it's a female plant manager who came into a very large company factory, the second largest factory that this company has around the world, and is one of those people who can integrate everybody else's skills. And so she was just the right fit for the job, incredible at listening, incredible at pulling people together, allowing people to work on their strength areas. And that factory went from really kind of struggling, and at that point it wasn't the second biggest in the company. It was kind of struggling, and she's managed to turn that around completely, and now it's become the second biggest in the country, and it's in the company, and this is a global company, and is really accelerating. So there are times when you find that fit. Now, that doesn't have to be a plant manager or a manufacturing director or a CEO. You know, that can be a HR person. It can be somebody who's come in from a different division. It could be somebody with a quality focus, but they just had the right, they were one of those people who brought out the collaborative leadership of the group. And it's key. It's a key skill. Having those people skills that you mentioned right at the bottom of the, oh, and we want to make sure that you can manage people or lead people. It's a shame that that's pushed down to the bottom, because in many cases that needs to be much closer to the top.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You can sometimes find that one person. It's like when you're making a recipe, right? If you forget that one, even if it's just a tiny little bit of something, it really throws the whole recipe off. You bring that one person in who just brings that last little bit of whatever, and you've got magic. So that's kind of cool to see, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, in companies, people are trying to replicate what the boss does. And you know, they're looking up for role models and trying to copy the role models. And whilst it's really important to have mentors and role models and to look at what skill sets are working, it's much more important to look inside and say, am I copying or am I reapplying? Am I looking at things that are great aspects that are working and figuring out how I myself can best make things work for me, right? And then use my strengths to pull everybody else forward. And as I said, don't try to change who you are. It's not a matter of saying, hey, look, I'm a bit too autocratic, I need to be more touchy-feely. It's not about changing yourself. It's about surrounding yourself with the right people and the right environment to make that work.
It's almost like there should be a prerequisite for people in leadership roles that they take, you know, a psychology 101 just to get a little sense of how people work, right?
We only get anything done through people.
You know, that's right.
People that achieve everything is people that are making the decisions every second of the day. And so the key is really to help them make great decisions. And in order to do that, you have to understand the people you're working with.
That's right. Kevin, it's always great to speak with you and get your insights. Thank you very much for your time today.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Janet.
Kevin Snook is a consumer goods manufacturing consultant and CEO at Saxagon. He's also the author of Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line, which you can find on Amazon.com. That is our show for this week. Until next time, I hope you'll follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.